My name is Roy Wada. I'm from the University of Illinois Chicago. This is a joint work with my colleague Lisa Powell at the University of Illinois Chicago and Shaleke Toma Nikan at the UPenn Medical School. She has a headphone. I think she's done that for a long time now. And so basically a joint work between the University of Illinois Chicago and the University of Pennsylvania. So the topic is racial, ethnic, and income disparities in child and adolescent exposure to food and beverage television ads across U.S. media markets. I know it's kind of mouthful and a kind of long title. So basically what it says is that, it's kind of almost tailored for this meeting for the APHA, the leitmotif for the, the meeting was, the health geography, which is that where you live determines, your outcome. It turns out that, there's lots of things that are associated to where you live at the zip code and the county level. So if you happen to live in certain areas, you get this targeted ad from the food and beverage marketing, so that, for example, you get a little bit more fast food marketing than if you live in certain neighborhoods. And so the argument is, do they do that because of income disparity, meaning that they target certain ads to certain areas because they have more money or less money, or is it because it's sort of associated with racial, ethnic differences? So in order to answer that kind of question, you have to analyze both the racial, ethnic composition and the income disparity at the same time and crunch your numbers, and you get the answer. So this is what they call a quantitative study, trying to see what exactly the differences do you get in the food and beverage ads that's associated with where you live. So the latest, at least for the last 10 years, is that the obesity has been rising quite a bit. And then, the people have been, this is just like tobacco. Tobacco had, as soon as the Surgeon General came out with the news that 50 years ago tobacco was not good for you, and then it turns out the media was influential in determining how much you smoke. So it's the same thing with obesity. As soon as obesity became an issue about 10 years ago, so how much does the television contributing to the obesity rate? So we did it by the DMA, which is sport television ratings. DMA is a large statistical area. It's almost like the metropolitan statistical area, like Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, LA. And then, so we adjusted to the, the exposure to the, sugar sweetened beverage in fast food restaurant ads. And then we found that, it's associated with, the area that has a higher black composition neighborhood by the population level. And then we also found that it was higher if it's a low income. So there's two determinants, meaning that if the neighborhood had more black adolescent and children, then it had more fast food ads. And it was also true if the lower income neighborhood. It's not one or the other, it's a both. And so we found that geographically targeted TV ads, one of the factors that were contributing to childhood obesity, and the fact that the black and the minority children tend to be more obese, probably because of the fact that they were getting more fast food and the sugar sweetened beverage ads. So this is more detailed. Also, obviously prevalence a little bit high, has been going up. This is a graph. This is from the Health United States 2011. So if you look at across the years, the yellow is the 1988, and then red is 1999, and then The gray one is 2007. It's been going up for both the children and adolescents. And so when you see something like that, then you know the advocates and researchers and government want to start asking why did that happen. So how can we overturn the increase in obesity rates? So one of the factors, as I mentioned earlier, is advertising to children. They have seen so many ads that on average, each year they see something like 3,000, 4,000 ads per year. So there are 365 days in a year. So that means on average they see 10 food ads per day. So this is what the kids do when they Saturday morning, you turn on the TV, you see cartoons with lots of cereal and a beverage and fast food ads. So the question is that healthy for you, and does that contribute to the obesity disparity between higher income, lower income, between black minority population and non-black non-minority population. So there has been a lot of issue that has been monitored. Mostly currently we don't have official regulation. It's mostly industry self-regulation. Self-regulation is another way of saying that they promise to do something. They sometimes do, they don't, they sometimes does not do. So there's something called a targeted marketing, meaning, the companies, they do have information on, who lives where and where the sales are. So there are companies that collect the information on the neighborhoods, and they sell this, the information. And based on the information, the company can target their ads. For example, if the fast food companies, like McDonald's and KFC, if they decided that they want to, target certain demographics, do they want higher income, or do they want the lower income? Do they want, for example, if you have a Hispanic food company, then you probably want to target towards the Hispanic neighborhood. And so, it's almost accepted that there's a certain amount of targeting done by the food media companies. So the question is, when they target, is it because the income factors, right? Is it because the racial and ethnic demographic factors? So to answer this question, you would analyze the situation quantitatively at the same time, so that you don't confuse one factor with another one. So this is actually the background. Let me skip that. This one's a little bit interesting. So red is the unhealthy ads, and the green is the healthy ads. And then we do by the ages 2 to 5 and 6 to 11. So what this is saying that is that the company who pledged self-regulate, agreed to self-regulate the amount of targeting they do, they're not. They are all red. So that's one of the problems we're seeing. We get the data from the Nielsen Media Company. Nielsen is one of the companies who collects a lot of data. So as I mentioned before, this is for the DMA, designated market areas, Boston, Atlanta, Chicago, that sort of big areas. There's 120 of them, and we analyze it for 5 years, 2003 to 2007, and we link the data to census data on the race, racial, ethnic, and SES characteristics. So basically, this is we had data for 120 areas for 5 years. So it's a longitudinal analysis. And this is a descriptive statistics of how much and what kind of ads the kids and adolescents are watching. Total is about 20, but you can break it down to fast food. Actually, the biggest ads that children, adolescents watch are fast food items, restaurants. They are on the towards the bottom. And then in, you know, this is a reflection of the demographic in the U.S. right now. So approximately 60% of the U.S. are white, you know, 15-16% are black. Median house income is about $50,000. The analysis, so because we have a longitudinal analysis, we can do something called a fixed effect. So it will address what they call the unobserved heterogeneity, meaning that you know, the, so that whoever want to criticize the study cannot come back and say, well, it's because of something he didn't control. So the, because we had a panel data, we can control the area fixed effect, so, so that in the characteristics that's unique to, say, Boston, even though we don't see it, it's automatically controlled for. And then we did a unit of analysis and elasticity. So basically, if it's positive, then there's a positive association. And if it's negative, it's a negative association. So the important thing is that this is for the children, food and beverage. And so basically, the question is, do they you know, put more food and beverage ads if the neighborhood has more black, you know, the children? And then the answer is yes. So we did it by the total food, beverage, cereal, sweet, snack, and other food kind. So if there's more black children in the neighborhood, you know, you get approximately twice as much you know, the food and beverage ads. While if you are, but it's the opposite for the median household income towards the bottom. So if the neighborhood income is, you know higher, right? So if it doubles, then you get 70% less fast food and beverage ads for the in that area. And so that was for the children. This is for the adolescents. You know, very similar. This time we do about subcategories. So this is just for the beverage, a total beverage. SSB stands for sugar sweetened beverage, and non. So the question, the interesting about the SSB and non SSB is right. So SSB is, you know, it has a bunch of sugar, and this is non SSB beverages. So SSB is clearly targeted because, you know, it has a positive association, while non-SSBs, they're not. So, you know, one of the things is that if the association was due to the fact that something other than, you know, the nutrition content. But what we find is that you know, if we look at the diet soda or non-SSB, we don't find any significant association. We only find it for unhealthy food and unhealthy beverages. So that's one of the things we find. That was children, adolescents. Non-SSB is significant for adolescents, but, you know, diet soda in general is not. We do for the restaurant, so, you know, this is for children. Fast food is all, you know, significant. You know, it's positive here, negative here. But we don't find it for the full service restaurant. In general, full service restaurant is a little more healthier than fast food. That was children. This is for the adolescents. So the summary. Yeah, I'm sorry. That was a little obvious.
I was just looking at the 1.06 and the 1.6, but it's not
significant. Yeah, for adolescents, a little more statistically significant than children. This was the children. This was the children.
Okay,
right.
So in that one, where you have percent for black at 0.767, mm-hmm. And then down below, you have percent for other, you have 1.136.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this
who
is.
Who are the other? Black, Hispanic, the other included Caucasian, and who are the other?
The other would be the leftover that has been defined by census, which would include the Asians, you know, the Native Americans, the
Caucasians.
You have to be very careful with when you're using the racial ethnic group by the census, because some of the Caucasians goes into Hispanics because they are whenever you read a study, these studies you have to see how they define white, because we use the census has two questions. One is ethnicity, and one is race. So the white actually goes into white Hispanic, and then there's the non-Hispanic white.
Well, I'm just trying to understand when you're looking at the percent who are black, the percent who are, it looks like the others up there.
Yeah.
Sort of the rest of us, I'm trying to understand who they are, but we could talk offline.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, and then I was about to get to the limitation. One of the limitations is that we don't control for the Hispanic children, Hispanic television ratings, because we didn't have that. As I mentioned earlier, there's obviously that Hispanic food company would obviously target the Hispanic media address, but we had no information, so we didn't control for that. So yeah, this was the limitation here. What's this? Yeah, this was just for English language. So we had no Hispanic language, and another meaning is that there's some issues. Even though we control for the fixed effect, we don't control for the time, what they call time varying unobserved heterogeneity. But the key contribution is that our paper is probably the first to, actually go into detail and analyze the nitty-gritty and see there has been a lot of speculation that there has been targeting them by the food and media food and beverage company, and we do show that indeed there has been certain amount of positive association. Now, positive association doesn't necessarily mean that's what they did, but that's our evidence is consistent with that hypothesis. And this paper has been accepted recently, it came out in House and Place. So if you are interested in that, just talk again, and we can get a copy of it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.